We're speaking to Christopher Black. By the way, Christopher, people want to read your articles. Where can they find your writing?
I'm basically writing for a New Eastern Outlook, or which can be found on the net, and Strategic Culture Foundation, or Strategic Culture. I write for those two journals mainly, New Eastern Outlook, but lately for Strategic Culture, both of which have been banned on Facebook and Twitter and other Western social media.
Wow. So you're cutting edge.
Yeah.
No, really, by the way, boy, I'm glad you raised that point, because we are moving into a new and dangerous period, and which is one of the reasons I want to talk to you today, because the United States is clearly committing itself to building this their little base in a corner of Syria. Joe Biden, the liberal hero, is apparently more committed than Donald Trump to try to destabilize and remove the government of President Assad. He says so explicitly, going all the way back to when Obama said he had the power as United States president to order Assad to step down. And I noticed, I read a Globe and Mail article in which you were quoted, and there seemed to be, the propaganda side of it is also being pumped up again. And I was surprised that they're trying to revive the image of a pretty much an exposed group, so-called white helmets. Your comment in the Globe, I thought, was to the point. You said, if a group is financed by powers seeking to overthrow a government, anything they might say is obviously tainted. It's not the best evidence. And yet the Globe treats it like it's somehow unchallengeable. But talk about your view of the white helmets and their attempt to revive them, and why they shouldn't get away with it.
Yeah, that interview came out of an attack on a British group of professors, academics of different fields, actually, from various fields in the United Kingdom, who were doing exemplary work trying to expose the truth about the alleged chemical attacks by the Syrian government on the people of Syria, which never took place. And there's been their work and the work of some American academics and others have, I think, established clearly that those were either false flags or never happened. Yet they seek to perpetuate this propaganda in order to discredit their government of Syria, and to try and discredit it among its own people and in the West, and to justify the continued aggression against Syria. Part of that propaganda is a group, an ad hoc group they've set up, supported by United States, Canada, Norway, United Kingdom, and the EU generally, called the Center for International Justice and Accountability. It's just a a group that Americans threw together, basically. Yes. And it's run by Stephen Rapp, who used to be a prosecutor at the Rwanda Tribunal, who then became the American War Crimes Ambassador at Large, and so on. Then the head of the Hariri Tribunal, trying to stitch up the Hezbollah for the assassination of Hariri by the Israelis, I believe. And now he's in charge of this group. So it's basically, and he's basically connected to the CIA. They're doing investigations, as the Globe and Mail and the BBC and Guardian say, about Assad's war crimes against the people, and for future trials, and to put him in prison. Mm. It's just propaganda. Uh-huh. Now, there's a Canadian connection with a man named William Wiley, who I'd never heard of until I was asked to look into it, the British group. But the Globe and Mail seemed to be very angry that he was being investigated. But the entire group is dedicated, is financed by NATO powers, by the Americans and their allies, and it's dedicated to putting out nothing more than propaganda against the Syrian government in order to justify the American invasion and occupation of Syria, which is preparatory really for an attack on Iran.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, I was so struck by it, and I'm glad you're making these points, because the man was, if I remember, a British Army officer, retired, Le Monsieur,
Yeah, Missouri, yeah, yeah.
By the way, committed suicide under circumstances which seemed to involve a lot of question about what he was doing with the money that was they were giving him to use, etc. They've now turned him into a martyr that his feelings got hurt by people criticizing him or exposing him, I guess would be another word. And the Globe doesn't ask itself, what is a retired British Army officer doing with a home base on the Syrian border, the Turkish side of the Syrian border, and bringing people, and he says, I'm trading them for humanitarian purposes, and equipping them with very expensive, advanced cameras and sound so that they can collect evidence of Assad's crimes. What humanitarian group says, we're going to come and help you, but we're also going to take a lot of pictures and we're going to accuse somebody of a crime? That's a different line of work, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And this is all, as again, it's just all part of the massive propaganda campaign which is being conducted against Syria and Russia, which has put out lots of evidence that these things never took place. That's dismissed out of hand because it comes from Russia. The Syrian Working Group has, and there's an academic in the United States who did an excellent study of the two main chemical attacks, proving that they were false flags. But that doesn't stop people like Le Mesurier, who are obviously working for British intelligence, trying to set up scenarios which they can then record and say that the claim that they're attacks by the Syrian government and so on and so on, or crime by the Syrian government, or they're gonna try and bribe witnesses to say certain things, which is easily done. We've seen that at the ICTR and the ICTY, where they actually, we even deconstructed how they set up witnesses and manipulated them or threatened them with death unless they testified to certain things. This is what they do. People don't believe this, which is why it's hard to convince people how ruthless they are. People don't accept it. But the fact is that they're so ruthless that they're willing to threaten people with death and imprisonment unless they speak and say certain things that they can then be recorded and used as evidence later on, whether it's true or not. And it's a very dark world we've entered. And what can you say? I haven't seen the Globe piece yet. I hope the reporter that interviewed me was going to send me a link, but he hasn't sent it to me yet. So you're ahead of me on that.
Well, again, you know, it's also they're leading us down this road that they make up a name, the Commission for International Justice, et cetera. And you say, yeah, but it's paid for by the Canadian U.S. government. So it has. And if it were a proper organization, you would invite lawyers, doctors, whomever to join you. And of course, it would turn into an honest effort because other people would have a voice.
Right.
It's all directed from somebody's headquarters.
Right. Well, I actually asked this reporter or journalist interviewed or contacted me, I told him, doesn't it strike you as strange that these people are not investigating the crimes of the United States and Canada and the UK and Germany and everybody else who was attacking Syria, who set up these terrorist cells in Syria and destroyed the country? They're all brought in by the West, by NATO powers, mainly the United States and its allies. They're controlled and trained by them. And there's no investigation of the crimes committed by those powers in Syria. The ICC does nothing and says nothing about that, even though they have jurisdiction, say, over the UK and Canada, but they've done nothing and will say nothing.
Yes.
And the new prosecutor, Mr. Khan, who was approved by the British government, is not likely to say anything. Mm-hmm. So why would this group you're supporting, the Center for International Justice and Accountability, is nothing more than an American propaganda group.
Yeah.
And yet you're giving them some sort of credit as a neutral, unbiased group when it's not.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd be investigating everybody, but they're not.
They're a prosecutor's group. It's not an investigation. It's an attempt to get someone and to use they have a photograph of the man Wiley, and he says he has thousands of documents. Yeah, which mean what? You defended Dindilimana. There were thousands of documents. So what?
Yeah, there were, we received 100,000 documents. In fact, when I remember when I first went to Dindilimana, I met with, I got to have, go to a meeting with, I think, turned out with 30 people against me alone. And they convinced me, you got to plead the man guilty because we have overwhelming evidence. We got thousands of documents proving his, and it turned out all to be bogus.
Yes.
They didn't have any documents. They didn't have anything. And this is the same with they can claim anything they want, but they don't have anything.
Yes.
If they did, they would be taking it to a proper court.
Yes.
I mean, they would be filing it with, say, the Syrian court. Again, and then they may ask the Syrian courts to go after Assad, for instance, or filing it with the Security Council, sharing it with Russia and China and the rest of the Security Council. So they can set up, they could then decide to set up another ad hoc tribunal to investigate all these things. But they don't dare send it to the Security Council because they know it wouldn't stand up, not for a second.
Yeah. Well, and consider that they say they are gathering evidence, these guys with the white helmets. Well, they only operate in territory where the identified terrorists are, very famous terrorists.
Mm, right.
And that's the only place that the white helmets operate.
Yes.
But they never produce any evidence of any crime committed by these rather famous terrorists, the ones who have been known to eat human hearts, cut off heads for the fun of it.
No, that don't prevent. I mean, look what the Americans did to Raqqa.
Where's the picture of any of that?
No, there's not. There's the white helmets are, again, they're a creation of the NATO, of the Americans and their allies, mm-hmm. a propaganda group that's their purpose, to stage scenarios and theater and record it and then put it out in the press, and the press duly puts it out and convinces people there's bad things are happening in Syria by the government. But meanwhile, trying to convince people to ignore the fact that the Americans and their allies are destroying Syria, are occupying it, have invaded it. Look what the Americans did to the city of Raqqa. They did to that what they did to Germany in the Second World War. They totally destroyed that city. They bombed it, they destroyed it. Every building in that city was destroyed. We don't know how many civilian casualties were because we have no idea. And what justified that?
And when Syria tries to rebuild, they put heavier and heavier sanctions, which in my view is a crime, absolute crime.
Well, all these sanctions are, as you know, are illegal. We discussed this before, they're all illegal because the only body that can impose legal sanctions on any country is the Security Council under the UN Charter. Any other nation does not have the right to impose sanctions on another nation, or any group of nations has no right to impose economic embargoes on another nation unless the Security Council approves it. They're all illegal. In fact, they're acts of war is what they are, and we should say that. The word sanctions is used as a euphemism for economic warfare in an attempt to weaken this country, to bring it to its knees, so it can bend to the will of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's what they're trying to do with China and Russia, of course, and everybody else there, North Korea, we can go on and on, Iran, Venezuela.
I think that's a very important theme, this matter of how they have been leading us away from actual international law. They're leading us away from the institutions such as the United Nations, and meanwhile talking about the international community rule of law and our values. But they apparently do not believe that the Asians and the Africans in South America share our values. And it's a dirty little colonial way of thinking.
Right. And what are those values, that you have the right to invade and occupy and destroy any country at will? That's their values. That's the values we're really talking about. No different than Hitler. I mean, they have the same different excuses than the Nazis in Nazi Germany in 1939 or 1936 through 9. But the actions are exactly the same, and the same excuses, and they have the same objectives: to destroy and impose their will on and diktats on anybody they feel they need to, because of their own financial and interests, to control markets, to control resources, to control capital markets, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yes. Hypocrisy writ large. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, and we have the Canadian Parliament knocking itself out to follow along. And we're one of the founders of the United Nations, but you wouldn't know it by watching this parliament.
Well, Rick, I saw an interview with RT at, I think it was Crossfire, with Rick Rozoff was on there and some other good people, but he made a good point with, they're trying to establish NATO as an independent body away from the United Nations. So they're going to totally ignore the United Nations, make it a rump organization, and then NATO becomes the international order, the international order of justice and revenge. And then NATO decides what is the law, what is not the law, not the United Nations. And they keep speaking of this China and Russia refuse, or Syria refuse to obey the rules, the rules of the international order. Well, there's no such rules. What they mean is American diktat, because we have international law represented by the UN Charter and many other treaties. That's international law. Those are the rules. When the Americans talk about their rules-based order, what that means is their rules-based order, their diktats, and anybody that opposes that is obviously a criminal for opposing. They act exactly like a mafia, a mafioso.
I accept the reasoning. Yeah. Christopher Black, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. It's been very enlightening.
Pleasure to talk to you as well.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.